with you, if you turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 5, we're going to pick up where we left off a few weeks ago. And again, I want to thank Nathan and I want to thank Terry for filling in, and they do such a wonderful job, and I'm very thankful. You guys are very blessed, you know that, to have these men in the church to be able to come in and you know, as well, there's actually, we have quite a few people who, you know, fill that role, and so we're very thankful for them. Absolutely. Very, very loving congregation, and we're very thankful for that. So let's go ahead and read verses 14 through 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Brother Terry, would you ask the blessing upon this word?
Father, thank You for this time that Pastor Kerry can share the word of truth. Lord, we ask that Your anointing fall upon him, that we listen carefully, Father, to Your instructions. Lord, bless the people that are here today. Walk with us, Lord. Teach us Your ways in the days to come. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, one of the things that I have noticed that, you know, the enemy knows whenever you're going to be preaching a message that might be damaging to his ability to be able to wreak havoc upon the church. And I know that there's one thing that the enemy doesn't want you to know about. One of them's hell. He doesn't want preachers to preach on hell. So other than turning the thermostat up when I do preach about hell and things like that, you can be sure that the enemy's going to come at you, you know. And I think the same thing is true when you start talking about prayer. You know why? Because there's power in prayer.
Amen.
There is power in prayer. And the enemy does not want the people of God to understand or know that. Now, let me share a portion of Psalms chapter 4. And chapter 4, and let's go to verse 1. And this is the Psalm of David. And David says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Isn't that wonderful? Now let's turn to the New Testament, to the book of Luke in chapter 11 and verse 9. "And so I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened." Again, we look at that and I say, oh, how wonderful. That's wonderful, isn't it? But then I know that many of you are sitting here, I think probably if we're all honest, we have all had moments. When we look at this, we think about, well, what about the times when God doesn't answer our prayers? What about the times where it seems like He's completely silent? We've all had those times. We prayed long, we prayed hard, without any kind of results at all. And sometimes we start thinking, you know, or, you know, beginning to, you know, tell other people even, I don't understand it. It's like God doesn't care about me, or, you know, I don't understand why He doesn't have my hear my prayer. Doesn't He hear? Doesn't He care? And, you know, there ought to be some evidence of that fact. If He cared, why is He waiting so long to answer me? I just don't understand. How long must I wait before God hears and answers my prayer? Anybody here that apply to? Yeah. But I want you to understand, going back to David, David would understand your frustration. Now, I want you to listen to what he wrote in Psalms 22. And, of course, this psalm, the Bible talks about David, how he was a prophet, and he was prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ. But David went through this, too. And listen to what he said in verse 1 and 2. It says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You ever feel that way? "Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime and you do not hear, and in the night season and I'm not silent." I know that you folks have gone through these kind of times, because I have. It's common to anybody. You know, the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials," which is to, listen, try you. Try what? Try your faith. As though some strange thing is happening to you. But the same things are being accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I think you can take a little comfort in that. You're not the only one if you're going through that. That's right. Folks, one of the devil's final strategies is deceiving believers into doubting the faithfulness of God in answering prayer. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Satan would have us believe that God has shut his ears to our cry and left us to work everything out for ourselves. That's what he wants you to begin to believe. But folks, one of the things that we must be careful of not doing is to charge God with wrongdoing, like Job did, with being slothful and unconcerned about our needs and our petitions. I want you to look at what Job said. And I took this verse from the King James Version because I like how it says it there. In Job chapter 30, verse 20 through 21, I cry unto thee, and thou didst not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Thou art become cruel to me. Listen to what he's saying. You've become cruel to me. With my strong hand, thou opposest thyself against me. That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? You see, Job had his vision of God's faithfulness was clouded by his present circumstances and the difficulties that he was having. And what he ended up doing was accusing God of forgetting him. God had not forgotten him. And so what we see in Job 38, verse 1 through 4, is God didn't just say, oh, Job, there, boy, don't worry. God rebuked him sharply for this. Listen to what it says in Job 38, 1 through 4. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. There are times when I have pity parties about my circumstances and how I feel like, God, you're not hearing my prayer, where, again, the Lord kind of asked me the same thing. And I begin to think about, you know, I'm going to shut my mouth. I should never ever thought that or even said that. It's wrong. As you go on to chapter 40, we see how that God goes into great detail about his wondrous works. And I encourage you to read the whole chapter, chapter 38 and chapter 40. And what Job finds out is that all of his accusations were unfounded. In verse 1 of chapter 40, it says, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? And he who rebukes God, let him answer. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, and I will proceed no further. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? You see, that's the problem right there. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with the majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. So again, I encourage you to read that whole chapter. But you see, God, what God here is doing with Job is what he also does with us at times when we get too big for our britches. He allows things to happen to us to get us to begin to do his will and not our own will. Now, I was thinking about this morning. It's interesting how that even in the very nature of how we come into this world and everything, there's a picture, a type and shadow of our relationship with God, even as being a baby. You know, baby comes into this world, and let's say crying, picture crying as praying. A baby begins to cry. You know what happens? Immediately the parent responds. because, you know, it's new. It doesn't know what's going on, and it doesn't know any better. I found that when I first came to the Lord, I've even told people, man, I had to be careful how I prayed, man, because things happen, you know? But as you go on in your walk and you begin to mature, something interesting happens. God wants you to begin to walk by faith, not by feeling, not by sight. And it's like my daughter, my oldest daughter, Amy, she was a stinker, you know? She got in the habit of waking up in the middle of the night crying. And I'd get up and I'd put on this record by a band called Player called Baby Come Back. How many of you heard that song, Baby Come Back? And I'd hold her just like this little bottom right here, and I'd rock her back and forth like this, half asleep, you know, and she'd go right to sleep. It got to be a habit every night, like a, you know, like an alarm clock. She would go off, and as she got older, it got to the point where, you know, I got to get some sleep, you know. And so, you know what we did? We began to let her cry. You see, she was wanting her way. I think God does the same thing to us sometimes. Because a lot of times we think that what we're praying and what we're asking is in God's will, when in fact it's not. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. How many of you had your kid get be about 6 or 7, 8 months old, and they're crying, and you get up and go in there, and they're sitting up in bed, and they start laughing at you and everything. You go, ugh, you know? I wonder if God does the same thing with us. Gets a little upset with us and the fact that we can be so foolish sometimes in the way we do things. Now, I do believe God wants us to communicate with him, but you begin to know as a parent, you begin to know the sound of the cry, don't you? You know whether they're really in distress. Then you know the times when they're just throwing a temper tantrum. How many of you been in a department store and you see a little kid there? He's sitting there in the basket and he's, wah! He's crying. That hurt my throat. Excuse me. I don't cry a lot, see, like that. Anyway, as I was saying, he's crying because he wants something. He's crying because he's trying to usurp his will over his mother or parent. That's what Job was thinking. He had a better way. God, you're not doing this right. Well, God was proving Job and showing him things that he didn't understand. Folks, did you know that there are things that happen in our lives that are just too wonderful for us to understand? But God, as a loving parent, allows sometimes those things to happen for our good, and for us to grow, and for us to be able to become the image of who he is. It's not easy, but it's part of the growing process. Prayer is vitally important, though, and we neglect it so much because we have simply given up on it. Because we felt, God, you haven't answered my prayer. I don't understand. When in fact, we're not told to give up. We're to continue to pray without ceasing. I think that one of the first things that we've got to come to is this understanding. God wasn't created for us. We were created for God.
Amen.
And God knows your needs. And as a matter of fact, he knows what you have need of even before you ask it.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 8 says, "And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him." Now, the thing that I want to point out is the fact that a lot of people, anybody can pray. But I believe that there is only one conduit by which you're going to reach God, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ, okay? And it's a confined way. It is a narrow way. And the instructions that we have so that we will not have a disruption in our communication with the Father are very clear in the Word of God. But folks, we got to understand God cares for you and He is concerned for you. He's there. He said, I'll never leave you and neither will I forsake you. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's God's will for you, you see. God does hear. And matter of fact, He hears our every prayer, even the ones that He simply seems like He's not answering. But in fact, and no answer, it doesn't mean God's not answering. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says later, wait. Just like that child in that shopping cart. What he has a hard time learning is the word no. And I'm telling you, a lot of Christians have the same problem. God says no sometimes. David again in Psalms 18:6 says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him even to His ears." His ears are open and attentive to the cry of the righteous, those who truly belong to Him. Does that mean He gives them everything they want every time they cry out? Nope, just like that baby. Sometimes you got to let them cry. And sometimes God says, I'm going to let them figure this out on their own. It's part of the growth process. Again, there's a lot of reasons why God doesn't answer. One reason, maybe, and probably one of the greatest reasons, is the fact that we still have problems in our flesh and holding grudges against others. We become bitter. Maybe you know somebody who's got a grievance against you. That can even cause a hindrance to prayer. And the Bible tells us that a man and a wife in their marriage relationship, if there's anger or bitterness between one another, it says it'll hinder your prayer. These are things that kind of keep the line from being completely open. Fact is, folks, we got to understand. And though the enemy tries to make you think that you can approach God while treating people in the wrong way, that's not the way that we should approach God. We should not approach God with the idea that we can just come to God, you know, willy-nilly and just think that He's not concerned or caring about that other person that we've grieved or the fact that we're grieved against that other person. He does care. And we, our folks, are called to lay aside every bit of envy, malice, anger, everything that would hinder that prayer. Matter of fact, Peter said in 1 Peter 2:1-2, he says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, hypocrisy, and envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes." Here he likens us to those babes. "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow by it." Now I looked up the word malice in the Webster's Dictionary, and it means a desire to cause injury or distress to another. I'm telling you, you got to get to that place where you no longer wish that this person gets ran over by a Mack truck. You know? Really. You've got to get to that place where you no longer allow those things to defile, because that's what it does. It defiles you in God's presence. In 1 Timothy 2:8, it says, "I therefore desire that men pray everywhere." Listen, it says, "lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Doubting is another thing that will hinder prayer. Mark 11:25-26 says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, and your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Again, it's not talking about your salvation, but it is certainly talking about being able to communicate with our Heavenly Father. "But if you do not forgive, well, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Folks, this is talking about having communication with God. It's not talking about your salvation. And a lot of people have confused it to mean that. Unanswered prayer can also be a result, again, of unconfessed sin on our part. David said this in Psalm 66, verse 16 through 20. Come and hear, all of you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. And then he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy for me. And so I began to think about this. Lord, I don't want iniquity in my heart to hinder my prayer life. Keep me from you. But how long must I wait, Lord? I mean, if I turn away from this, how long do I wait before I have your ear? Anybody ever think that? I mean, how long do I have to go? How long, you know? And you know what I think? I think the moment that you truly repent from your heart, God hears, and he can begin to move on your behalf. You see, God is not a man, you know, that he should act like a man. He's God. And his ability to love and his ability to answer prayer goes way beyond what we're able to ask or to think.
Amen.
But again, it starts with a repentant heart, a changed heart. And believe me, you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. He knows whether you're truly repentant or not. Amen. Trouble is people will say, I've asked God to forgive me. But he knows your heart. And you, I think deep down inside, if you still have issues, you know yourself that you still have issues. So you got to begin to work on those things and help ask God, if you have a weakness in something, God, help me to overcome this. Because remember, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But through his Spirit dwelling within you, you're able to overcome every adverse thing that the enemy would send against you and all the works of darkness. And you can overcome those things. Our prayers are not answered because of those lustful things that come into our lives and the worldly desires. Like I said, God always hears our prayers. But we must be careful not to think that God will hear us if we are regarding iniquity in our hearts. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. God knows what you're asking for. There's an old saying in Eastern Texas. Anybody from Eastern Texas? Well, in Eastern Texas, there's a saying, like a hen on a cue ball or a turnip. You ever hear that? It's an old saying that no matter what you do, there will never be a result. It's not going to happen. And when it's season for raising little chicks, a hen will sit on anything that comes close to looking like an egg, a cue ball, or a turnip, a light bulb, whatever. That hen will sit on that cue ball or that turnip for days and weeks and months. That cue ball and that turnip, it's not going to hatch. The impossible needs to be a reality, but it's not going to happen. And so the old saying is a gracious way of saying, it's just not going to happen. There will never be a result. Praying can be like that hen on the cue ball. If you're asking God for something that you would not be asking for if you were truly understanding his will and his word. If your prayer is for something that you should not have, he will answer your prayer. But again, he will answer your prayer with no. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. God doesn't tempt us with evil, and neither does he, you know, allow it in our lives. Our prayer for things that are in God's will, again, we can expect those things if we're walking right with him. And for example, sometimes you need a car. Well, if you need a car, what kind of car are you praying for? Are you praying for a Mercedes, you know, or something like that? It may not be God's will for you to have a Mercedes. Are you praying for a day off? Or are you praying for a month-long cruise to the Bahamas, you know? Again, it depends on what you're praying for, you know. God can do anything that he desires, and he can give you more than you can ask or think, and sometimes he gives you more than you deserve. There are some times that God will just simply bless you because he loves you, and he wants you to experience his blessings, apart from you even asking. I've experienced that before. That's wonderful, you know. But you know what I do believe more than anything is God just simply wants to talk to you. And he wants you to let your requests be known to him because he wants you to allow him to be God. And he wants you to step off the throne and allow him to be. There's something I read, and I think this is very true, that non-Christians don't pray because they're afraid God is there. Christians don't pray because they're afraid God is not there. And they don't want to lose their faith. John encourages us to pray and to approach God confidently because God is there. And he says in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what is his will? This is his will. We ask according to his will, he hears us. Now, I always get a kick out of children when they pray. They're so innocent when they pray. And I believe they get away with a lot more than somebody who's mature, right? And God, he said, suffer the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Little children are full of faith.
Amen.
It's wonderful to see. But even that, you got to be careful who you call on to pray as well. You know, like I read this story about a woman who invited some people to dinner, and at the table she turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, would you like to say the blessing? I wouldn't know what to say, the little girl replied. Well, just say what you hear Mama say. The daughter bowed her head and said, Lord, why in the earth did I invite all these people to dinner? Yeah. So out of the mouth of babes, right? Excuse me. Excuse me. So God, he doesn't always bring the answer through the front door either. Sometimes it comes to the back door. God does things in his own time. And folks, we can't get bound up by the time or the manner in which he chooses to answer. What we've got to do is we've got to simply trust in his grace. And his grace is better than anything else. This is one of the reasons why Paul, when he prayed, Lord, I prayed that he would take away this illness from me, you know, several times. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Coming to that place where you understand that you are in his hands and that his will for you is for good, that you might have a hope and a future. It's so important. God will send his grace and his love, and sometimes going beyond that, greater than what we can ask or think. And just because your prayers are not answered exactly how and when you want, don't bring accusation against the Father, because he does all things well. Our prayers are not answered because of lack. Sorry. Excuse me. Our prayers are not answered because of a lack of faith. excuse me. A lack of faith, you know, again, it will certainly hinder our prayers. But, I'm sorry, this cough has kind of got me all befuddled. A lack of faith will certainly hinder our prayers. I need a glass of water, please. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 7 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, I'm so sorry. I think whenever I cried out loud there, I hurt my throat. Thank you. Now, as we said before, doubting God. It's like being a restless sea, tossed to and fro. You know, and it says, don't let that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. You got to understand that prayer is like a bow, and his promises is like arrows. Faith in the hand which draws the bow, it sends that arrow with the heart's message to heaven. The bow without the arrow is of no use, and the arrow without the bow is of little worth, but both arrow and bow without the strength of the hand serve no purpose at all. So unbelieving fears, folks, rob a believer of the joy and the confidence they can have in God in answering prayer. God doesn't regard all prayer. Sometimes, like I said, you know, he sometimes lets us cry a little bit to try our faith. But he does hear the prayer. Prayer is the only weapon that we have against the fiery darts of the enemy. And it is effective. It's a weapon that must be used with great confidence. And folks, if we know that God truly is listening, we know that we can have a confidence that we can overcome the enemy and all the fiery darts of the devil. Pride is another reason for an unanswered prayer. No one is qualified to approach God. The God of the universe, with the spirit of smugness or pride. God resists proud people, but he gives grace to the humble. That's what it tells us in James 4 and 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but grace to the humble. So we need to pray with a humble heart and with a balanced view that acknowledge that due to the work of our great high priest, we can draw near to our Heavenly Father with a great boldness. Hebrews 4 and 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. Arrogance can negate every bit of the prayer that we ask, though. See, God, he wants his people to be humble. And, you know, he tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, that if anyone thinks that he's something when he is nothing, he's just deceiving himself. So arrogance really hinders God's ability to be able to answer our prayer. And the other reason, one of the reasons why we seem to not have our prayer answered, is because we simply stop praying. We get discouraged. And again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18 says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm going to have to wrap it up. I'm so sorry. Yes. That's absolutely right. Unanswered prayer sometimes seems like they're not answered, but they are, because God is saying no, or he's saying wait. And I think a lot of the times we just have to continue in the Word of God, and as we continue in the Word of God, we have our senses trained so that we can discern what's good and what's evil, and also I believe that we can discern what God's saying to us, because he answers a lot of times through the Word of God and through the study of the Word. I just wanted to share this last thing with you here, because I've just lost my ability to speak here, and I apologize for that. But some of us are, you know, we're like someone who puts four quarters in a Coke machine, pushing the buttons and not getting the Coke. We push the button again and again, waiting for the Coke, which never comes. And finally, kicking the machine, we just wave our hand and walk away. Many of us simply give up on prayer because it's not something we know that we're supposed to do, and we feel like it just doesn't work. And I think that is so true. But we are to continue to pray. Keep on seeking. Keep on searching for the Lord. And if we keep casting our bread on the water, so to speak, you know, God will answer prayer. It'll return back to us. Amen?
Amen.
But have faith in God, folks. And I want to encourage you to spend time in prayer. We have prayer Tuesday night here, and I've said this before. One of the biggest reasons people struggle with praying is because they don't believe God will answer that prayer. It's simple. You know, the Bible tells us, don't forget God's benefits. I don't think it's that we forget. We just simply doubt His benefits. And people don't come and pray because they simply don't believe that their prayer is going to be answered. Let me ask you something. If you knew that if you could go to a prayer meeting, that God would answer your prayer right then and there when you got to that prayer meeting, how many of you would stay home? Nobody would. It's because we doubt that God hears and answers prayer. Well, I tried that, Lord, and it just didn't work. But maybe the time that you go, that time that God answers prayer. So I want to encourage you, press in, you know, come together with the church, pray corporately, and ask God to do wonderful things. And no telling what we can see. Amen? Have faith in God. Take Him at His word. Amen? All right. If you're here this morning and you've not made a decision to receive Jesus and you want to call upon His name, would you be willing to lift your hand right now? Is there anybody who's not done that? I'm going to trust you've all done that then. Brother Nathan, would you close us in prayer?